Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by Pastor Billy Logan, our pastor of discipleship, and Pearl Parks, who is a longtime member of the Church of the Nazarene here and serves faithfully on our church board and in many other areas. Pastor Billy and Miss Pearl, it's great to have you both today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah, Grayson, glad to be with you again, man.
And happy Palm Sunday. It's a great time of year. We've just come through the season of Lent as we're here on Palm Sunday. And I was thinking about one of the things I didn't mention is Pearl also leads a life group. And Pastor Billy is our pastor of discipleship, so he oversees life groups. Pastor Billy, if you'd like to mention what the study is that we're doing this spring and kind of the overview of the study.
Yeah, we've been in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and it's based off a book by John Mark Comer. And really, the whole premise of it comes from a statement that Dallas Willard, who was a professor, a theologian, he said to one of his mentees, to John Ortberg, when he asked, you know, hey, what can I do to really get the reins on my life with God and on my life in ministry and all that surrounds that. And his one statement to him was, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And in the days in which we're living, and especially pertinent in this season of Lent, but especially, you know, our day-to-day lives, as many of us would confess, are, well, we would just say, hey, we're busy. And so we thought that, hey, this would be a relevant topic, a meaningful, a challenging, a convicting, and hopefully transforming look at what we're doing day to day in our life with God and relationship to Him, and hopefully see His transformation happen in our lives so that we can deepen in our relationship with Him as disciples.
That's good. Miss Pearl, what are some of your thoughts as you have been preparing for the life group, this study, and just in your personal life also?
You know, sometimes we get so busy with the busyness of life. Yeah. And in discussion last evening with our first get-together that we had, there was discussion amongst us that, yes, all of our lives are too busy. And some of us who now are retired don't know how we ever had the time to work because we're so busy doing other things. Now, some of us, it's the busyness of the work of the Lord, but still, you've got to have your private time. You've got to have that alone time with the Lord and not let the busyness of life rob you of the blessing.
Right, yeah. I think the things we're doing that make us busy, they're not bad things or good things. They're things of the Lord, but we need to make sure that we're not neglecting our alone time with the Lord, with our Savior.
Exactly. And
especially if we're pouring into people, we don't want to be pouring from an empty glass or an empty cup. And that quiet time, whether it be in times of reading the Bible, in times of prayer or doing devotions, those are times that fill our cup.
Definitely.
And there are many scriptures where it talks about God, God alone, and prayed. Spent time with his Father. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good point, Grayson. And I mean, during this season of Lent, it's really a time to set aside, to try to slow down, which is really what this study is about that we've been journeying through in our church family and in the life groups and our small groups, about unhurrying our lives so that we can be still, so that we can simplify our lives and slow down so we can hear the voice of God and live in obedience to him. And one of the things that we talked about, and it's a well-known quote by Corey Ten Boom, who was a survivor of the Holocaust and has a fascinating and wonderful testimony. But she had said way back in her days after the Holocaust, she said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll just make you busy. And so really the season of Lent is peeling back the layers of our life and saying, okay, God, is there anything in my life that I need to repent of? But also, God, is there anything in my life that's just hindering me from knowing you more, from loving you more, from living in complete obedience to your will for my life?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Miss Pearl, you talked about your life group meeting the other night, and the first session was kind of, because our life group got together the other night too, was just kind of a casual, kind of a, we hadn't met in a while, so we're getting back together to fellowship, and and making time for those things too in our busy schedules, you know, fellowshipping with other believers is important too.
Definitely, yes. I found that last evening, as we were talking, because our life group, it's a safe place.
Right.
And they feel free to discuss what they want. And so as they shared prayer requests, things that have happened in their life since the last time we met,
right,
which was, what, November?
Yeah.
It was really great to hear, to get caught up last night and to be able to share our inner thoughts about many issues.
Right.
And it was just a blessed time to be together.
Yeah, our life group had a good time to get together as well. And oftentimes there are weeks some people can't be there, and there's things that people have. Obviously, the people that weren't at our life group wanted to be at our life group, but it just talks about how intentional we have to be. Not saying we don't have things that we have to do or don't have responsibilities, obviously, but we just need to prioritize our time with God.
Definitely.
Like we do everything else.
Yes.
And set us up, be intentional about it.
Yeah, and that's kind of how this study really fits into the season of Lent. Comer says in the book and in his study and in the, you know, towards the beginning, he said we each have a spiritual life. I mean, that's why we're here. That's what we have in relationship to God through Jesus Christ. We have a spiritual life, but he says our capacity to receive and give love in relationship to God and in relationship with others, which is what we do in life group when we gather and we share and we do life together and pray. He says, you know, that is based upon the level of hurry that we're experiencing, because he says this statement, and it's kind of, it's not kind of, it's definitely challenging. He said, hurry is incompatible with love. And that's a challenging statement in the day in which we live, because all of us would, if we're honest, would say, well, we're just busy. We got a lot going on. And he's saying, well, to the extent that we're in a hurry limits the availability of love that we have towards God and towards others, because our affections are really just getting out of order, and we're putting second things first and first things second, and we're getting things kind of all in a mess. And then it kind of hinders our relationships with one another and with the Lord, because we're not making the time, like you just said, Grayson.
Yeah, and another thing I think about, something that I've heard my dad say before, he would tell me, I need to build margin into my life. Mm. And I think for him, at least from the way he lives his life, that's because he very rarely is ever in a hurry, and he doesn't want to miss people. And God might bring people into our lives. He probably brings disruptions into our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not disruptions to him. They might seem like disruptions to us. But just encounters, you know, in previous studies we've talked about our encounters with one person. I believe was the fall semester study. And, you know, if we eliminate hurry, we open ourselves up for what God might have for us, encounters that he has for us that might seem like interruptions to us, but they're not interruptions to him. And so we need to make sure that it might just be a small word of encouragement or a small prayer or whatever that is. And it's important to get quiet with the Lord. But also, I really enjoyed our Lenten devotional that we had over the Lenten season. I was already doing another Bible plan, read through the Bible in a year, and I was like, how am I going to fit this? But I've made time. Sometimes I might go to bed a little later or cut out stuff, like cut out TV or cut out, you know, you just have to be intentional. Mm. And if you're willing, you'll find the time to spend with him, and I believe you'll be blessed because of it. I don't think you'll regret spending time in the Word or spending time in prayer. These are things that refuel us, but Jesus is somebody we're in relationship with, and even though we can't see him physically, we should treat it like we would any other close relationship in our lives that we value, whether it be family, friends, whatever it might be.
Yeah, Ms. Pearl, I'm interested in knowing that you grew up as a pastor's kid. Did you have an experience growing up as it pertained to Lent and this season leading up to Easter, or was that kind of a new thing later on in your years with the Lord?
Lenten season was not something that we centered on when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was as I grew older and attended the Nazarene church instead of the church that I had grown up in.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a different viewpoint. I saw a different emphasis preparing for Easter. It became very, very meaningful. At first, Lenten was something that some churches would do, and you know, they would give up things for Lent and made a big deal about it.
Right.
And then most of them would go back to it, their old habits that they were going to change. And so it was never all that much to us as we were growing up. But now, you know, I see it as preparation for the resurrection day.
Yeah, that's good.
It's just a beautiful season.
Yeah.
And it just means so much to me now.
Yeah.
Where it didn't before.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's my experience. I grew up in the church, actually a little small town church, the Nazarene in Kentucky, and I had never really heard of Lent. And when I got to college at JMU, there were people in my dorm who, to me, were not religious, or they didn't go to church that I still tried to go to church every Sunday and do those things that I had grown up doing. And they started talking about this season of Lent, and they were going to give up these things. And to me, most of them had Catholic backgrounds. So in my initial experience to Lent was, well, that just must be something that the Catholic Church does. And the Protestant Church doesn't do that. But the more that I learned and saw and looked into it, it's actually a formative time that's been part of the Christian faith since the early church fathers way back and in history. And so I, too, had that same experience where as I grew to understand it, I grew to love it more.
Yeah.
Just as, you know, we love the Advent season before Christmas and anticipation and that season. This, too, is that. It's just a different type of preparing our hearts for the Lord. Yeah. And so, yeah, no, thanks. I was curious about that because growing up, I too didn't have that sort of experience with this season.
Yeah, I don't remember us folks, and I'm not saying that it was never talked about, but I don't remember until becoming an adult hearing about it. And even then, like you said, Miss Pearl, people would give stuff up, but then they would go back. So it was like there was no, like, definite change. It was just for a season. And a lot of times fasting was talked about too. And I felt like, well, if you skip a meal, but you just go do other things, be busy, then that kind of defeats the purpose. I think now if you skip a meal and spend time in prayer or reading your Bible, I think too, it's not just about fasting food, because in nowadays there's probably harder things to fast than food, whether it be social media, TV, whatever the thing is, that's everybody's different. Everybody has different things that keep them busy. So I think it's more what you do with that time with whatever you give up.
Definitely.
As much it is about giving something up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, and I was thinking about this when Pearl was speaking there, like you hear these people and they want to give up these things, and we have the good intention of doing it. But it's like with my experience with my college friends that were in my dorm and stuff, it was really just it was like a season to practice self-will, like, you know, self-control. Like, could I be self-controlled for 40 days rather than, is there something I need to surrender and yield to the Lord during this season so that I can deepen in my love for him and be changed more into the person that he's created me to be? Which it makes a huge difference.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It wasn't so much the spiritual part
of
it. Yeah. It was just like you say.
Right.
It's self-control.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. And some people saw it as an opportunity to lose weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Deprive themselves of some meals.
Right. And really, it's supposed to deepen our dependence on God.
Definitely.
You know, when we hunger, it's kind of like Jesus, when he fasted, it was to seek the Lord. And at the end of the 40 days of his fasting, the devil tempted him in the wilderness, but he had the strength through his Father. I mean, he was the Son of God, but he was also fully human. Mm. So he faced temptations just as we do, but he had the power to overcome those temptations through the power of the Father. And we can, you know, we're not Jesus. We will make mistakes, but we can still have that same power. That same power is living in us that rose Christ from the dead.
Definitely.
That's right. I think that's why this study is going to be impactful as everyone finishes it and begins to hopefully practice it, you know, some of these things that we're going to be talking about during the remainder of this life group semester. And I believe if we implement them as disciples of Jesus, we're going to see the reality where Jesus invites us in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." And I don't know anybody that I'm in a relationship with that would say, "I'm not weary, I'm not burdened, and I don't need rest," right? And so Jesus, we hear that invitation from Jesus, and often we're like, "Well, that sounds nice, Jesus, but my life is crazy right now. You don't understand the things that are going on." But then he finishes, he says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn from me." And that's really what this is about. It's about saying, all right, Jesus was never in a hurry. And it's like, how can we take that yoke on our lives and learn from his rhythm, learn from the way that he did things? And like you said, Grayson, it's really only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit from him living in us. We can't do it on our self-control and on our self-determination. And then we find rest for our souls. And so really, I really hope and pray that as we finish out this season and this life group semester, that we'll really truly begin to see that the burden of Jesus is light and his yoke really is easy, as he offered to us.
Definitely.
Yeah. Also, this time of year, I'm thinking about, and we've all been there, Miss Pearl, you've been there four times, and Pastor Billy and I have been there once, to the Holy Land. So we've been where Jesus walked and where the inspired scripture, where it happened, the different things. And we've been down the Palm Sunday route. We've been in the Garden of Gethsemane, which, I mean, what was Jesus doing the night before he was betrayed? He was in the garden with his disciples praying, and he even went off by himself.
Yes.
And what did he ask his disciples to do? Stay awake and pray for 1 hour, watch and pray. And so I think he still invites us into that today, to stay awake and pray and to be ready, because the Bible says that only the Father knows the day and the hour of when the Son will return. So we need to be ready, and we need to make sure that those around us are ready. So, anything that you all, Miss Pearl, from your trips to the Holy Land, Pastor Billy, from when you were in the Holy Land, maybe things that the Lord spoke to you there from being there, just some of the things cultural-wise and seeing the locations makes the Bible come to life.
Oh, it does. You never read the Bible the same way after you've been to Jerusalem and Israel. It's just a beautiful experience. One of my favorite places was the Garden of Gethsemane. To stand in the garden and look down through the Kidron Valley, see the wall of Jerusalem and the sealed up east side of the door, you know, and I stood there and thought, you know, someday that door is going to be opened. And it was just, it's just a beautiful experience to be there. I always kind of felt the real presence of the Lord when I was there. When we would go to the temple area and you'd see those pillars lying on the ground and all the marble that's lying around there. And I had to think, you know, that's where Jesus walked.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful. My son-in-law, who's now in heaven with the Lord, Dale, he was walking back and forth at the temple, on the porch of the temple. And we asked him, "What are you doing, Dale?" He said, "I'm trying to walk in the very same place that Jesus walked.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it was all very, very meaningful.
Yeah.
And going to the tomb, you know, and having communion there at the tomb was just a beautiful experience. I still have my little wooden cups from taking communion there, and I have four of them. and so they're just special, special memories.
Yeah, I agree that, I mean, here we are at the beginning of Passion Week, as people are listening to this, you know, and it's Palm Sunday. And some of those places that Miss Pearl mentioned, the Garden of Gethsemane and looking there over the temple walls and right there, kind of the journey that Jesus made down through there. And you walk past all of the tombs and the graves and so many of Jesus's words, you know, right over the Mount of Olives there on the other side is Bethany and where he raised Lazarus from the dead. And, you know, you get all of these pictures and they're really all centered around Passion Week this week we're entering in. And so when you're there, those just have so much deeper meaning and life to them because those are the stories that really are the pinnacle of our faith. They're the pinnacle of who we are because of what he's done. And so, yeah, that the opportunity to journey there. And right now, hopefully there'll be another journey through Hearts of Flame, which is ran by Steve Thigpen and Kara Willis here at the Church of the Nazarene. Hopefully they'll be able to journey there this October. Their plans were cut short due to the conflict over there. And we pray for the people over there and that God's protection and will would be done. But it just journeying through the Holy Land really brings this Palm Sunday. It brings this season that we anticipate in our faith to life.
Yeah. And Pastor Billy, do you mind if we pause our conversation and just say a prayer for Israel and for the people over there and protection and whatever the Lord lays on your heart?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pause now, recognizing that you are present with us and you are present with your people all around the world. And so, God, we pray for the conflicts that have been happening in the Middle East and pray that they would be resolved, Lord, with fewer fatalities and casualties. Lord, we pray for the protection of the people, the protection and projection of the people that belong to you, your church, Lord, that that eyes would be turned to you, Jesus. And that people would find eternal life and they would find hope in the one place that hope can be found. And so, Lord, we don't know exactly how to pray, but we just pray that you would intervene, Lord, and that your will would be done in that place that you called home and in the surrounding countries. And we ask it in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Billy.
Grayson, I had to think as Billy was praying, we went to a Nazarene church.
Right.
I think it was in Bethlehem.
Nazareth.
Nazareth.
Nazareth, yeah.
And to be in that service, and they were, and it was in Arabic, and of course we didn't understand it, but you could feel their love for the Lord.
Yeah.
They sang so robustly, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was an Arab Christian church, and that was one of the best experiences of the whole trip.
I agree.
It was wonderful. And Pastor Carey spoke, but it was translated for the folks that were there. And the church was packed the Sunday that we were there, and they fed us afterwards. Yeah. Just wonderful, wonderful people. Made us feel so welcome. And it was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it was. Yep, and I remember some of the other places that stick out to me is the Mount of Olives.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, right where the route there where the on Palm Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Another cool experience, Pastor Billy and I and Dad and Billy's at the time soon-to-be father-in-law and his soon-to-be brother-in-law, Steve's son, Tucker, and Steve's oldest daughter, Chelsea, her husband, Drew, got to eat in the house of our bus driver, Talib. And that was a huge deal because Talib is a Muslim.
Yes.
But we're praying for Talib. And if people don't know the culture, Christians and Muslims just don't eat together. But he, Talib has, Dad and Steve have formed a relationship with Talib, a love. And so he, I believe this was the second time that Steve and Dad had eaten at Talib's. And so we do pray for the believers, but we pray for the pre-believers.
Yes.
And those that are not yet saved also, that the Lord will protect them. And maybe the Lord will use this, what all the things that are not right in the world, that he can get glory out of these tough situations.
Yeah. We believe it.
Talib was special. Yeah. I always looked for him. There was one year I went that he was not able to be there for some, I think it was a health reason, I'm not sure. But we really loved Talib. He was special.
So, Pastor Billy, Pearl, what else would you like to share along the lines of what we've shared today or talked about today that you haven't shared already or that we haven't talked about already?
Yeah, I had one quote that I was thinking of when we were going to begin our discussion, and it kind of centered around this whole idea that we're talking about with the season of Lent and preparing really to celebrate Resurrection Sunday and to lean into the Lord in a deeper, more intimate way. And also this idea of the ruthless elimination of hurry in our lives and really stripping away those things that hinder us from hearing the Lord, right? Because Comer had said that hurry and sin have similar effects. They cut off our soul from God because we don't make that time. There's just this disconnect. Well, Chuck Colson once said, and he eventually began the Colson Center, but Chuck Colson said, the question of our day is not what then shall we do, but as always, who then shall we be?
Yeah.
Our identity in Christ will dictate our actions. Our task first is to be the church, the bride of Christ, the body. And so really, I think that's still the call today for us on this Palm Sunday in 2026, the day in which we find ourselves. It's not, hey, what shall we do? And that's really right. Let's eliminate the hurry, the doing, the doing, the doing. And there is good doing, right? There's a healthy kind of busyness when you're giving your life away to what matters, but not necessarily making that the first thing. But who are we? Who shall we be? Are we representing Christ? And is what we believe truly what we're living out?
Definitely.
Yeah. Good.
I know when I heard that we were going to be studying and it's about hurry, I had, you know, it kind of threw me a curve because I thought, why? You know, you're doing things for the Lord. Yeah. But when I get into reading what Comer has written, it's just, you know, it's beautiful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And we can hinder ourselves by being too busy.
Right.
And I find sometimes that's what I experience.
Right.
You know, I might be doing good things. I might be cooking a meal for Celebrate Recovery or some other function. And, you know, that's doing the Lord's work, but it's not personal time that we need to spend with the Lord.
Yeah,
and that's what I crave.
Yeah. And I think that personal time is what helps strengthen us. And give this, so we're not burned out, so to speak, in serving the Lord.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of the Mary and Martha thing. Like, Jesus wasn't saying what Martha was doing was bad.
No.
It was good. But he was just saying what Mary chose to be at his feet was better.
Yes. So I have to let myself not become a Martha.
I think we can learn from both. We can do what Mary and Martha did, but we need to make sure that we're not just doing the one and not doing the other.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Pastor Billy and Miss Pearl, thank you for joining me today on Hope Talks. It's been great to have both of you.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me back again. I've enjoyed it, and I thank you, Miss Pearl, for the ways that you've selflessly served our church and so many people in it. I know that you do it all for the glory of the Lord, and I just want to say thank you for that, and Grayson, for leading this podcast and bringing hope to others as these messages go out.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you both. Yep, Miss Pearl, for the way you faithfully serve, and also Pastor Billy, how you lead our life groups and aren't afraid to preach the truth that God gives you and the opportunities that you have. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Pastor Billy Logan, Miss Pearl Parks, and I talk today about eliminating hurry and getting quiet before the Lord and setting aside time for Him, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. And we invite you into this practice as well. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.